Live from the ramen noodle store in East Dalton Strip Mall, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, inventor, statesman, author, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who can cut his own hair, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you digging it? Marksman, sculptor, misanthrope, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the inventor of jalapeno toothpaste, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers, and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yeah.
Woo! Gotcha.
When you said, are you digging it? I was dying to say, yeah, the most. I dig it the most.
You dig it the most, baby.
You know, that reminds me.
Do you know what song that was?
I don't. But it does remind me that.
I gotcha! Uh-huh.
Sly and the family. Is that Sly from Family?
Did he just die?
He died recently. Not too long ago. That is a good song, actually.
He played Woodstock.
Well, there you go.
Apparently.
You know, when you said you're the attorney in the opening, where it says, attorney for the International
Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers.
I think just once you should slip in there, attorney for the International House of Pancakes.
That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
That would be a good job, man. You know they get free pancakes. That's one of the things. If you're the attorney for the International House of Pancakes, you have negotiated free pancakes for the rest of your life.
I think that's true. You know, here's the thing about pancakes, though.
They're not that good.
No, they are good.
They're kind. But if you doctor them up.
But it's not like, you know, the International House of Pancakes. There's pretty much just one recipe for pancakes, isn't there?
I think so. It's what you add to it. So what I was saying, you know, you can have blueberry pancakes.
Yeah.
You can have buckwheat pancakes. You can have strawberry pancakes, pancakes with maple syrup, pancakes with blueberry syrup, pancakes with strawberry syrup, pancakes with pineapple syrup, pancakes with whatever you want, man.
Having said that, I'm guessing
they put whipped cream on your pancakes.
I'll bet you 80% of the pancakes sold at International House of Pancakes are just plain pancakes.
Pancakes, yeah, but with a pat of butter, and then they pour syrup over top of that, and it all drips down the side, and it makes it look really good.
I agree with that.
Their commercials are wonderful. Their food is great. And the shape of their restaurants I used to like, too.
You're thinking Howard Johnson.
No, I'm not.
International House of Pancakes have certain shaped.
Yeah, they had a steep roof, too. Howard Johnson's were what, blue and...
Orange.
Orange?
Yeah.
Blue roof, orange.
Pizza right? Hut's kind of got one of those type of roofs, too, doesn't it?
Oh.
Pointy roof. We just got Pizza Hut back in Jerseyville, by the way. I didn't know if you knew that.
Been there. Ate that.
Really?
Yeah. Already had a Pizza Hut pizza. Yeah, and I got to tell you, their recipe's pretty good.
Oh, I agree.
You had to rate chain pizzas, where would you put? What do you go with?
I'd go Pizza Hut first and then Domino's second.
Domino's second, huh? Interesting.
Well, I don't own stock in Domino's. I own a little Pizza Hut stock.
When my oldest daughter comes home, we always have to get, what's the...
Little Caesars.
No, the St. Louis...
Hemos.
Hemos, yeah. Hemos.
Sure, Hemos closed, didn't it?
It did, but there's still others around. More down the road.
Well, I know. I got to drive farther now. If I live in Jerseyville, I got to drive a long way to get the square beyond compare.
Right. But Little Caesars, pizza.
Yeah.
cheap. There for a while, you were getting a pizza for $6. And when I was taking...
I'm thinking you get what you pay for.
Julia to school, we'd drive through
And get breakfast for her?
And get a pizza and eat in the car on the way home.
Well, you trained her correctly, didn't you?
and our philosophy was, well, whatever's left, we throw it in a trash can along, you know, before we get home. And
the other thing you're saying is, don't tell Mom.
No, I never say that. I never say that.
But she knew not to.
Oh, God, yes. Terrible, terrible things here. Kids, listen to both your parents equally.
Don't just not do it. Your mother says.
Don't do what either one of your parents say.
Now, that's when you get in college.
Nah, that's true. Yeah, but don't you figure once kids get in college, parents have given up by that point? Trying to tell them what to do. And if living away from home, they're doing whatever the hell they want.
Do you remember actually learning anything in college?
I learned how to play guitar. No, I didn't.
I did. I learned how to play guitar.
I'm trying to think, what did I learn in college? I watched a lot of soap operas and game shows during the day.
I watched a lot of old sitcoms.
Yeah.
I think I watched all the episodes of MASH.
I watched every Love Boat ever made.
You know, they kind of went downhill towards
you. Because it was on, you know, that I had time to where I could go to this first class, run home, watch TV for a couple of hours, and then go to my second class.
As opposed to going to the library and studying.
Or anywhere to study.
Did you ever go anywhere to study? Do you remember studying in college?
In graduate school, I can remember spending time in the library because I had a lot of stuff I had to write at the time.
Yeah.
And if I didn't go someplace other than home, it wasn't going to get done. So, yeah, I was going to the library.
You know, it's...
They had great sofas.
In the library.
Oh, God, yes. They shouldn't allow that. There should not be any comfortable furniture in a college library.
Why?
Because it's just slowing down the education process, you know, because I'd go over there and then I'd take a nap.
In the library.
Yeah. It's quiet.
Yeah,
it was a good place. It was a good napping environment.
Okay, I'll agree with that. At SIUE, I slept in the library once in a while.
Would you go out and sleep in your car?
No. Why would I do that when I had a library?
Yeah, that's true.
And I commuted. And I could go home and sleep if I needed to.
All right.
But
what if you had a big gap between classes?
That was bad. Yeah, you try not to let that happen in your schedule if you weren't living on the campus.
What I found out, you know, when I was going to SIU Edwardsville, and I had time between classes, they put in a video lounge in the upstairs of the student center.
Yeah.
And that is the first time I ever saw the movie Indiana Jones. Oh. And they played it like over and over and over. And I would go in there and just watch it over and over and over. I was
so you've seen Indiana Jones many times?
Well, yeah. I loved it. I loved it.
What I remember is I rode back and forth with Mike Steckel to SIUE for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it was like at the beginning of the video game age. Where they had
they had them, yeah.
They had console video games, you know.
You stand up and play them, Asteroids.
Yeah, well, no, it was the next generation beyond that.
Okay.
Of cool graphics, you know, and 3D graphics and stuff, which was just like a miracle. I spent hours and hours and hours of my free time playing video games like that. Now you do it on your computer and on your phone. But
me and Henry were going
down different
there.
Steckle.
Different Steckle. We were going down there and found out they had a bowling alley down in the basement of the student center.
Really? No, I never.
Yeah,
went
there's
to
a
the
bowling alley,
night.
And there was never anybody in the bowling alley. And it only cost, you know, like you could bowl an entire game for like $10. You know, so you know, you got hours of entertainment. Not $10 for a buck. 10 frames for like a dollar. And so, you know, and they had the bowling balls, they had the shoes, you know, everything you wanted. And then we found out that the guy who ran the bowling alley down there was just so particular about his equipment and about the shoes and about fouling, you know, going across the foul line.
Yeah.
To the point that once we found this out, that's all we did.
Fouled it.
We just tortured this guy.
And you're proud of this, right?
Oh, yeah. That was go bowling today. Yeah. Let's go bowling. Go down there. And you know, you'd foul. And it would sit off this, like, little, you know, and you go, no, we didn't. This thing must be, something's wrong with your machine. There's nothing wrong with the machine. That's all he lived for. And we're down there yelling, like, and we're the only ones there every day.
You know, it's interesting to me.
There's no bowling league. There was, I don't know why they had a bowling alley there.
And that's actually something I was wanting to discuss. You know, you got a government agency, like a college or a city, that someone will concoct some need for something like, you know, we should have a bowling alley here. And they'll spend like $1 million adding a bowling alley that nobody ever uses.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about yesterday, I was out doing my constitutional, my walk, right? And I went to one of the parks in Jerseyville.
Yeah.
And one of the things they've got there is this...
exercise course?
Exercise course, like a bunch of exercise equipment set up to where you'd like do a program, I guess. You know, mm-hmm. It's got steps, you know, where you would... step up and down and then do sit-ups and pull-ups and stuff. That's been there for about 2 years. In that entire time, I have never, ever, one time seen anybody use any of that stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're right. As far as I know, the only person who's ever used it has been me. One time.
You actually did the whole routine?
Yeah. Never been back.
That's why you're in such good shape.
Yes,
now. That's
it. There's a worse one than that. Down on 255, Highway 255, there's a place down in Madison County, down by Bethalto, where the sports complex, where they've built, I don't know if it's 8 or 12, I think it might be 12 baseball fields or softball fields or whatever. I've been going by that for about 10 years now and have never seen anybody on any of those fields ever.
I know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, who concocts things like this?
We need a dozen ball fields. What if we want to attract a tournament? We have to have at least a dozen fields. So far, from what I can tell, they've not had a tournament and they've not used any of them.
But someone has to maintain all those.
And somebody has to maintain them, and the cost had to be in the millions to build them. And you're right, they're paying, you know, probably $100,000 to have a staff that maintains these things.
It's down in...
But, Rick, they look great.
It's down in southern Florida, in a city down there, right? Cape Coral.
Yeah.
And decided we were going to take the dogs. We're going to take the dogs to a park, right? And there's a bunch of parks there. We just look them up online. Here's a park. We decided to go to it and do the Google Map thing that takes you to it. And when we get there, it's like... one city block with no trees, a couple of picnic tables on it, and grass, like lawn, I guess, sidewalks around it.
Bocce ball.
No, nothing else.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, who concocted something like this? Who thought this was a great thing to have? You know, we should build a park here with nothing in it. Picnic table.
And what's your point here?
My point is that, again, it's
low infrastructure cost.
I know. What was the... why even bother?
Maybe there was something there before, and there's some, you know, like title restriction that says you cannot do anything other than have grass on this block.
Or some government program popped up from the federal government, said, we'll give you $500,000 to develop a park.
Okay. And they built a picnic table, and that was it.
We don't want to let that go by.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would make sense from a financial perspective for that community.
You and I took a drive down the old Alligator Alley in Florida, state highway that runs through the Everglades.
And it was well worth the ride. We saw hundreds and hundreds of alligators.
I agree. Tons of alligators. But at one point we stopped. There's like a little roadside park. You remember that?
Yeah.
And
you just expected alligators to come out of the brush any second. And we've driven past, you know, 500 alligators. And then here in the middle of, you know, like this alligator, you know, out of control area, they have a park. Who's going to stop there?
And it's a park with just like a couple of picnic tables, no fences around it, and they're butted right up against the Everglades.
Yeah, and I think they may have a couple of signs that don't feed the alligators or something. Or...
yeah, the safety equipment.
Right.
I can you imagine? Hey, kids, we're going to pull over and eat lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
where's Bobby?
Have you got something that's very odoriferous?
That's where you stop and you get your lunch out, but you also have a long cane pole with a live chicken on the end of it.
See if you can get a gator to come out.
Well, that's if they do come out, then it holds them back. They'll distract them until you can get everybody back in the station wagon.
You know, upset chicken is pretty scary. They make a lot of commotion, flapping wings and stuff. Be good protection, I think, against down here.
Protection? Not protection, distraction.
Oh. You mean it would go after it instead?
Right. I think they would. Especially if you bloodied the chicken up a little bit first. Okay.
I might have to cut you in this one.
I just think... why didn't we go to an alligator show where they actually dangle a chicken over a big pen full of, like, not a live chicken, but, you know, like a...
like in Jurassic Park when they put the goat out.
Yeah.
You know.
How's that any different?
You know, watching me eat a goat. When you have, like, a park like St. Louis Zoo and they have the fake Serengeti with their lion pens and stuff.
Yeah.
What are they feeding those lions, do you think?
I just assumed like dog food.
Like dog food? Mm-hmm. You don't think they have something live for them to chase around and catch?
I don't think they have anything alive in there. Now, they may get, you know, like some scraps from a meat processing plant or something like that. I know I would.
But don't you think, you know, these are lions, you know, not tame lions. They're wild lions in a pen, presumably, that you should let, like, some deer out every so often?
Hmm.
Let him have at it.
We had What's-His-Face in here that had his personal wild animal farm, and he said that he was always picking up roadkill.
And throwing to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the same as having a dedicated zoological park where you've decided you're going to get away from having them in iron cages to look at, which was made them easy to look at up close.
Yeah.
You're going to put them in a natural environment. You might as well let them hunt.
I was at this program last week where they had a representative from the St. Louis Zoo speaking. And he was talking about the zoo. And you got all these animals in cages and stuff like that. But the St. Louis Zoo has, you know, hundreds and hundreds of animals. And they're all contained in an area of about 40 acres.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But now the St. Louis Zoo has this new zoological park that's getting ready to go online here in 2027. And it's an area just above the confluence of the Mississippi and Missouri River where it was an area. It used to be a golf course and some other public property owned by St. Louis County. And now they're converting it into kind of like this Jurassic Park where they have animals that are compatible in different paddocks that they can just, like, roam freely. And they will have, like, a trolley that goes through that you can have these close encounters. And they have another section with more passive animals that you can walk through. But it has smaller, you know, friendlier creatures that you will have a guide or a docent that goes through with you.
There's that word again.
To help you through the park. But they said that it's taking years for this to come into play because they had to figure out, you know, which animals are compatible with other animals and, you know, won't, you know, eat all the food that the others get none or that they'll attack each other.
Like when we went to McDonald's with Larry.
Yeah, and we got none. And then they had to make sure that there weren't native species of plants that these animals couldn't eat. You know, like if they ate this, you know, Johnson grass, it would kill them or, you know, something like that. And so they had to rule out all that, you know, and have a few animals die before they figure it all out. but they're getting real close to opening up this new experience.
How do they keep them from just wandering off?
There is a perimeter fence.
Electric?
I don't know about that. But one of the things they said is, as they put up the fence, there were animals that were already living there. Like, they've got coyotes, and they've got deer, and they got foxes, and all these different
and things. They just have to fend for themselves once they put the lions in.
Well, they have to kind of interact a little bit. I don't know they've got a big lion population like they do in Calhoun, but I just thought it was a more interesting way of going about this.
Well, I grant you, but the problem with those types of zoos is that it's awful easy to not be able to see any animals, that they decide to sack out in some corner under a bush, and you do go.
It's not like Grant's Farm where they poke them and make them go out.
Cut them out, yeah.
I don't know.
I go to the zoo, I want to see an animal. I don't want to have to hunt for them. If I want to hunt for them, I'll go to Africa. I was reading a story about these two people that had the most frightening experience of their lives, they said. They are going to take a jeep through the Serengeti, right, or one of these things. And the one thing they're told is, under no circumstance, get out of your vehicle. You're allowed to drive this path through here, but, it's full of lions, real lions, wild lions.
And their vehicle breaks down.
And a flat tire in the vehicle.
Flat tire, okay.
No phone. And the question is,
Drive on the rim.
No, he got out and changed the tire. His wife stood up or was to stand through, had like one of the openings, sunroof on it. She had to stand on the sunroof with her foot on the horn so that she could notify him if she saw any lions. Well, he changed the tires.
Was somebody you knew?
No, I just read about it online.
On Facebook?
No, not on Facebook. I was just looking up dangerous things that people had done, and that was one of them.
One of our other brothers was showing me something that's popular on Facebook right now. These little videos of, like, toddlers. Like, they have a toddler that looks like Trump, and they dub Trump's voice over the toddlers. Have you seen those?
No.
And they got one that's a Biden baby, and they got a Obama baby, and they got, who's the other... Graham, the Senator Graham,
Lindsey Graham,
as a toddler, and they're all just saying stupid stuff. They were so funny.
You mean like AI'd them?
Yeah, absolutely. But they look good. You've not seen those, huh?
No. What I have noticed,
you're not on Facebook enough. Then
what I have noticed about Facebook now is that, with AI, like you'll be scrolling through like some article about the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
And here'll be the picture of the Beatles doing something that the Beatles never did, that some computer has generated.
Wait a minute.
And it looks, it looks really real, to where like Beatles were all out water skiing at, Winter Haven Park.
Yeah, and they got Princess Di on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks just like, it's astonishing. To where you almost have to go, well, I'm never going to believe anything I see on the news ever.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because it's so easily faked now.
Yeah. We get these people accusing you and I of making up stories here on this podcast, which we never do.
All true, folks.
Right. But this AI stuff,
where's that going?
What do you believe?
Nothing.
Where's it going in? When is just everything you're exposed to is fake?
Pretty close to it now.
Pretty close to it right now.
Here's something interesting. I'm going to change topic, but you just made me think about it. When you made me think about faking, it made me think about the people who think that the moon landings are faked, right?
Yeah.
Have you followed this Japanese company that's now, it had its second moon landing?
That crashed.
Lander crashed.
Yeah.
And it's like three or four of these that have happened now. And what strikes me about it is to think about what a fantastic accomplishment that it actually was in the late 60s and early 70s.
With the technology they had then.
That they successfully landed on the moon, like, what, six times?
Yeah, how have we gone backwards? Is that what you're saying?
And to where they can't do it now?
Right. Why is everything such a struggle?
Unable to land a lander on the moon when they did it in the 60s.
That's because they'd rather put all their technology into video games than they would into something like scientific.
Apparently. And I guess they figure the same technology that allows you to simulate a landing on the moon will actually work.
The world's gone to hell, Rick.
I think it has too.
Nobody's invested in the real world. Go outside, man. Smell a flower. Drink from a stream. Would you get down on your hands and knees and lean down and drink out of a stream?
I have.
But would you do it now anywhere?
Oh, I'm not sure what would be on the ground now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Go to a baseball game and look around the crowd and see what percentage of people
are on their phones while they're at a baseball game.
Yeah.
It's criminal.
It's astonishing.
It shouldn't be allowed in there. Enjoy the game, man. God, that's what you're there for.
Well, that and to take a picture of yourself and your friends.
Damn, at the game!
To put on Facebook.
Woo!
You do see quite a bit of that. People going to events will like to post a picture of themselves at an event.
Yeah. I wonder if the number of people getting hit by, you know, like foul balls or balls that go into the stands has gone up since the advent of cell phones.
You need someone taking a picture. Here I am in the game.
They're just on their phone, not paying attention, to get hit in the head. Next thing you know, they're hit in the head. And then what happens? Then they want to sue.
Did you ever catch a foul ball?
No.
I've never caught a foul ball at a baseball game.
You know which one of the Ringhauser brothers has?
No.
Brad.
Brad's caught a foul ball.
Yeah, I think he dived over, you know, caught a foul ball. And the guy there in the stand had a little kid next to him and asked Brad to give the ball to the kid. Man, was he asking the wrong guy? Can my son have the ball? He's never caught a foul ball at a ball game before.
Brad leaned over and said, if he'd caught that one, I was going to take it away from him.
He probably would have. Brad would have.
Now, when you said he caught a foul ball, it was one of those where it bounced around and he grabbed it as it's flailing around, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a direct catch. Yeah, he had to, you know, scramble under the seats up in the, you know, nosebleed section.
Sometimes, though, you'll see some scorching line drive and some guy will stick his hand out to snag it.
Yeah. You know? Hey, guts, man.
You're not even thinking.
Or you're drunk.
You have every bone in your hand shattered. A ball coming at you about 125 miles an hour.
I got it!
Boy, I'll tell you what, though. Those smoking foul balls come like that. You see a whole bunch of hands go up. People are willing to risk the bones in their hands for a foul ball that they could go buy.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's a lot better if it's been hit by somebody.
Yeah, and they should follow your lead where you have, you know, some baseball that's signed by some famous card, Mike Shannon, you know, and you got it on your shelf. And, of course, it's in your handwriting, but nobody knows that.
Yeah. Well, don't I?
Well, I've been to your office. Yeah.
where's
you had all kinds of memorabilia that was fake.
Where's my copy of Sgt. Pepper signed by Paul McCartney?
Here's your weightlifting trophy. It's still here.
But back in the day, there was no AI used in that.
No, you had to be crafty and do it yourself. It was real fakery, not electronic fakery.
I haven't told my Abe Lincoln story lately, have I?
I don't think so.
Abe Lincoln.
It's interesting that you choose a guy called Honest Abe
to do this to.
Yeah.
Attorney in Jerseyville. And I, we were both young attorneys, went to law school at the same time. And I was state's attorney. And
he wasn't.
He wasn't. He wasn't able to get that job. But he and I are sitting around one day in my office. And our courthouse in Jersey County is part of Illinois that Abe Lincoln once upon a time practice law in.
Sure.
So the question is, are there any documents that actually have Abe Lincoln's handwriting or signature in the old records of Jersey County? And he and I actually went through all the old records of Jersey County, one by one, to see if we could find anything.
On government time.
On of course, yes. It was during the day of slow time. And did not find any. But I had mentioned that my grandmother had a letter that was sent to her by her great uncle who was in the Nebraska Cavalry. Because we did have a great uncle who was in the Nebraska Cavalry. And we had a little picture of him.
Tintype photo.
Tintype photo. So, to make a long story shorter, I go up to the law library one night and grab a book that's from the 1860s, one of the law books. And it had a blank back page, which I tore out and went home and got me a book in the library from Abe Lincoln and worked on his signature for a good while and wrote me a nice Abe Lincoln letter on a piece of paper that was 150 years old and framed it and took the picture of my great uncle from the Nebraska Cavalry and framed it with it so that it gave its little street cred and framed it and put it up in my office and waited for this attorney. We'll just call him Eric P. to come in. And sure enough, you know,
Eric P. Gullible.
That's 100% right.
Okay.
So, you know, he's astonished by it, you know, and I'm kind of bragging about it. And eventually I told him, you know, but to skip ahead, I left it up on the wall just because it was
a long time.
Yeah, it was, looked good, you know. It
looked darn good.
Nice to have an Abe Lincoln letter framed up. Skipping ahead, we have a high-profile case that comes up in Jersey County. And a TV-quality case where they send TV reporters. And
big time.
Big time. And I being interviewed on TV for the first time, which was really cool, you know. If you've never been interviewed on TV and you're a hillbilly, it's a great thing. So but I had to go play cards at noon with the aforementioned Eric P. And so I do my interview. It's right before noon, and the guys interview me. They say, "Now we've got to we filmed you, but we just have one camera. So now I'm going to turn around. They're going to film me asking the questions, and we cut them back and forth." Right? I said, "I don't have to stay for this, do I?" They said, "No." And we're just good, but we have permission to film in your office without you being here. Yeah, go ahead. So I go and, you know, head out to the parking lot and forgot my car keys, which I've done like 1,000 times. So I have to go all the way back up into the courthouse. And when I get back up there, here are these guys. They've got their camera set up to take a picture of my Abe Lincoln letter on the wall. That they're going to have a fade out to that. Like, whoa. That's an Allen Ringhausen line right there. Whoa. So I say, I said, you know, there's not a lot of security here in the building. I said, I really don't want to advertise that I've got this letter. I didn't say any. I said, this letter up on the wall in here, and I'd really rather you wouldn't film that. I said, we understand. So they did not film my Abe Lincoln letter to fade out on.
Abe Lincoln letter found in Jersey County, Illinois. Probably worth millions.
Yeah. When I retired.
Is it fake?
That letter now. And by the way, after I wrote it, I like soaked it in iced tea and then laid it on the furnace grate to kind of give it that wrinkly look.
You antiqued it.
Yeah. I folded it up and it's in my safe deposit box right now.
Is it now?
It is now. So, you know, and I've just set it away for the day that...
From what I recall, if you took the last 10 words of the letter... And took the first letter from each of the last 10 words.
Spells Ringhausen.
It spelled Ringhausen 150 years later.
Yeah. But I set it out so that years from now, when both Sue and I are dead and someone drills the safe deposit box and goes through all the stuff in it, someone's going to find...
Oh, my God, it's an Abraham Lincoln letter. And they're going to say it's... And you don't give a shit then, do you? All right. Well, that's good. Oh, my God.
Is that out of time?
We're out of time.
Are we out of time?
We are.
Oh, kids, don't do that at home, by the way.
No. It's just, you're just having a little fun, right?
Besides which, all you got to do is type, hey, Google or Siri or whoever it is, make me an Abe Lincoln letter and print it out.
That's right. You can do it now, can't you?
AI, I'll take care of you. Right. See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
this has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Uncle Dan's Roasters, tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog's coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. With that little legal in hand, see you later from Rick Cater and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes. There aren't any.